It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
It's Jenkins and Jones, presented by FanDuel. Football season is here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel always has exclusive offers. When you win, you'll get paid fast, and FanDuel has lots of ways to play the spread, like play the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. Combine multiple bets from the same game in a same-game parlay and try out Same Game Parlay Plus. Use promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more this football season. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, September 26th, and we got a bunch of weird and crazy shit to talk about this week, fellas.
Can we call it a doozy?
Can we call it a doozy?
It's verging on a doozy.
It's
teetering between being a doozy and being a humdinger.
Oh, well, humdinger.
We usually only get those on Tuesdays.
As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my buddies, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Should we run that back?
No, fuck it. No.
Okay.
This last week of September does not exist. This is October. You're listening to this on October negative 5th.
I love spooky season though, man. But you know, I prefer to celebrate beginning October 1st. I'm a traditionalist, but
it's 2022, Tyler.
We went to a little spooky season event this Friday. Had a little fun, man. A couple haunted houses and whatnot. It was cool. We were planning on going to haunted horror nights, but I think the weekend was pulling up, so it sold out quick. So we went to Griffith Park, had us some fun, man.
Oh, you did the Griffith Park one?
Yeah, first of many nights. I think we'll hit some other things up too.
Mom and Dad are getting some Halloween date nights in.
Leaning in, you know.
I love it. I love that. That makes me very happy. All right, let's start with the shit show to end all shit shows. The I feel like in all caps, this now has to be referred to as the Ime Udoka situation. I don't even know where to start with this. It's been such a disaster from what's actually happened to the media reaction to it, to social media speculation. We're going to talk about all of that. But Tyler, where do you want to start with the Ime Udoka situation?
Let's take it from the very top on how we found out about this, from when Woj dropped that tweet. When he dropped that shit, like it was a club flyer, bro. Like there was a rollout for this news about this man who might have, you know, fucked his whole family up due to his misconduct, who probably is going to lose his job due to his misconduct. Woj put a picture up of that man, watermarked that shit, put his little weak-ass LinkedIn headshot on that motherfucker. And basically ended up like, this guy fucked up real bad. Stay tuned. More to come. Like, they gave us a rollout on this shit with cliffhangers and all that. It was just a shitty way. You know, I feel like everyone has handled it in such a terrible way. And it started from the top of the world.
Yeah, there was a real... this disaster brought to you by me, Woj, like vibe to the fucking graphic they put together.
It was interesting seeing everybody's gut response. Did my camera do the same bullshit? My shit is fucking up. Sorry, guys. This is a throwback Jenkins and Jones shit. We fucking up big time over here, Bubba. Big time. But anyway, it's just a gut response to, like, you know, pointing fingers at the chick. You know what I'm saying? Like, who is she? Who is she? You know what I mean? From a lot of people. It was, and also like Matt Barnes as a, you know, like professional wild boy, you know what I'm saying? Coming back and saying, yo, this is 10 times worse than you think it is. I cannot condone that. What I said yesterday as far as taking up for him, I can't get behind that. That's why I deleted my shit. And then also RJ, who is a wild boy himself, you know what I mean? Also being like, yo, this ain't it. But it's interesting seeing that. And then people still coming to his defense after seeing these people say, yo, this ain't it. You know what I'm saying? What's going on is fucked up. You know what I mean? And when you when it gets out, you know, it's going to be it's shocking behavior. That's not completely, you know, not worth respect.
I think we can even rewind it further back to like what Tyler was talking about. One of the issues that we have here, and, you know, people talk about access journalism versus sort of more investigative stuff in politics more often. But we have two access journalists in Woj and Shams who break all the news in the NBA, right? Both of those guys are access journalists because of the relationships they have with one half of the business enterprise of basketball. Woj, really well connected with NBA and the team organizations, right? Shams, really well connected with player agents and management companies. So Woj, you know, to me, that's a big part of why this whole thing went super sideways. We got like four rollouts, as Tyler was saying. And so there was, even before anyone knew what was happening, you know, I think someone quote tweeted Woj's thing and was like, I don't know if this man got a DUI or is a serial killer. Like, it was just such a weird way to, like, hey, just as a heads up, he's being suspended for something, you know? And the way that was leaked, given what we're starting to uncover about, you know, potentially how serious of a violation it was to leak it like that, I don't think that did anyone any favors, much less, as John mentioned, the speculation that took over. I mean, it was literally a, like, Lakers fan account just said, oh, there's only, you know, once Shams came out and said, okay, there was a relationship with a member of the Celtics staff. And first of all, that was all that was reported at that time. And for some reason, people immediately started jumping, like you said, to his defense, filling in all the gaps. Like, it's 2022. We should all know, if you know a man did something stupid with a woman, you should not be taking up for anyone until you know what happened. I mean, let's be fucking, come on.
If,
man,
we've learned anything, we've learned that, I would hope, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, baseline.
I actually was surprised by how many people, and look, like, if there's one thing that comes out of like a Me Too movement, it should be a deep breath for everyone, right? When an allegation comes up, this could be more, this could be worse, whatever, right? Like, we know how bad these stories can be. So to see everyone take up, I thought was nuts. But also just to see Twitter take one tweet from a non-journalistic account saying, oh, there's only one woman on the Celtics staff, and then just like put this woman's name and life and everything all over the internet on social media. You know, John, you made the point, like, she has kids at school. Like,
that's what, when you sent it to me, I'm doing, like, bro, she might have kids, like a family. Then you said, yo, she has two and she married her fucking high school sweetheart. You know what I mean? And that's what, I mean, dude, like, for instance, like, bro, if you was at school and that popped up on Twitter and somebody tried you, like, the kids are being affected. I'm going to get suspended over that shit. We fighting, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I mean, it's just this one account said something, admittedly not knowing all the information. They just saw some shit, you know what I mean? And then shared it. It blew up, and a whole family, including children, you know what I mean?
That have literally nothing to do with any of this.
Nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this. Maybe she might not even, I mean, she probably.
You work at the same Walmart.
But she might not.
You work at the same, you work at the same Walmart as a guy. You know what I mean? Like,
feel me? You know what I'm saying? You've seen them a couple times, you know, at the cash register. You know, y'all don't really interact, but now you all in that bullshit. You feel me? That's crazy as hell, man.
Yeah, you log on to Twitter and the entire subject is, she's finer than Nia Long. Like,
your
is she,
whole
like,
ass like, face.
Right.
Your whole ass face. Like, you know what I'm saying? Tyler said her LinkedIn profile, but this was her, you know what I'm saying? This is her work profile picture. Putting that on blast for 30,000 people to see. I think that's the amount of likes it got or some shit. But like, and then obviously when the apology drops, nobody's interested anymore. You know what I mean? Like, nobody, you know what I'm saying? It's,
yeah, damage already done at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was just so wild to me to see how so many people were rushing to defend Ime without all the details. Like, I was like, bro, this, and everyone's holding pictures. Oh, so your suspension for a consensual relationship, that's wild. I was like, bro, it's more than that. This man just took the Celtics to the finals. They are not fucking coming down, you know, giving him a year suspension just because he had a consensual relationship. And as we've seen, there is more to that. So yeah, it was just a crash course and people jumping to defend people without all the facts and how terrible the state of journalism is right now, where people aren't worrying about being right. People just want to be first. It was just like you know, I said, just a whole fucking shit show, man.
You talking about him taking him to the finals? I remember people hitting me up like, you know, I think they did it to him because he black. I'm like, this no. Man took the Celtics to the finals his first year. A white man would have got a year for what he's doing. You know what I mean? He took the Celtics to the finals the first year, bro. He got white privilege doing some shit like that, bro. You know what I mean? He earned that in Boston, bro.
He's one of the good ones.
He's one of the good ones. You know what I mean? He got at least that. So, I, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, so you, I mean, that's a great point. I was thinking about that. Like, dog. You know, he just took the Celtics to the finals, you know what I'm saying, after having him for 1 year. And then, like, looking at RJ when he was being kind of cryptic, but he was saying, if it was consensual, which it was, that's what he said, you know what I'm saying, because RJ had all the information, you know, well, he's got,
he's better connected than us, we'll put it like that.
Yes, exactly. And he said, and he still got a year. Think about it. And that's like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, it was consensual, but there was some other shit going on, obviously. You know what I mean? And I don't think it's that hard. I mean, we think it's harassment. We don't know. But we know it's something that's probably fireable and is going to lose his job. And it's just odd that also people, like, higher ups, like, we haven't got a Stephen A. yet. But, like, him, who are pretty connected. What's up, Maya? Pretty connected. And still, like, jumping out in front of the, you know, the, it's just crazy to me.
Yeah, yeah. Stephen A. showed his whole ass this week in a terrible way. I don't say that as a compliment. I think he went way off the fucking deep end when he requested that, you know, we know the identity.
How would it be a compliment? Would he have literally shown his ass?
Oh, no. Okay, come on.
You think he got a duke on him?
Show her ass. You feel that time, too. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm playing.
And a fucking, you know, shaming or whatever.
Showing your ass could be he caught 5 touchdowns, or it could be he embarrassed himself on national television 4 days in a row.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah,
exactly. And like I said, I think that him, you know, implying that we need to know who the woman is was so fucking irresponsible. Because Here's the thing for all those, well, why don't we know her identity people? Like, you know, like I said, if you can't connect the dots here and see that a harassment lawsuit is on the way, I don't think you're really paying attention here, because the Celtics had an independent law firm do an internal investigation, right? They suspended Ime for a year. They said they're not sure if they're even bringing him back after the findings of this investigation. You know, Shams said the investigation revolved around, quote unquote, unwanted comments aimed at this lady from Ime. That's harassment, bro. Like, but that's the
and that could cover quite a bit. I mean, I think some people, from what I've seen in the responses to this, some people hear unwanted comments and think, you know, it's more benign than the worst thing that could be is pretty bad. You know,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
And that's also like, you know, the type of phrasing and word watching that journalists have to do in these situations where there's probably a lawsuit on the table too. You know, there's that aspect of it as well. And I definitely do think there's a harassment lawsuit here. I think Ime is done. I don't think he's ever coaching another game for the Celtics again. And the reason why I think he's suspended for a year instead of being fired is because the firing of Ime would like be construed as an admission of guilt on the Celtics part. So I think Ime is going to remain suspended until a settlement is reached here. Then he's getting the boot after that settlement is reached. So that's why the lady in question here is not being outed, right? Like, it's always been a principle of, you know, ethic journalism to grant anonymity to anyone who's alleging that they're the victim of, like, any type of sexual misconduct. You know, and that principle is in our legal system as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They grant that anonymity in courts, too. So,
and for good reason. Like, and for good reason, right. Because of what we were just talking about with what a woman who had nothing to do with this was exactly run through on fucking social media. Like, so of course a person that's actually involved in a victim of harassment or worse, of course you protect her identity as a journalist, as the courts, as a team, yeah. Whatever. I mean, like, no fucking shit. I can't believe that Stephen A. Smith would need to have that fucking explained to him. Like, that's crazy to
me. Right. You've been doing this shit for fucking 30 years or whatever. But my question is, you know, like, what do we even gain by knowing her identity?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like Ime is the public figure here. What the hell do we gain by finding out it was literally?
You gain power and the ability to be shitty. That's what you gain.
Right. That's it.
That's the answer. Like, we gain nothing. People saying that just want to see her get dragged through the mud with Ime, right? So you know, you can say it takes two to tango or whatever. Okay, well, she's the one that's alleging that she was on the receiving end of misconduct. So that's why she's getting some anonymity granted to her here. So yeah, man, I just think people who are advocating for her to be revealed, they're doing it from a place of bad faith, because, you know, they're not doing it from a place of, well, the journalism should expose it, because, like I said, the anonymity that she's being granted here is a principle of fucking ethic of journalism. So these motherfuckers, they just want to see blood, bro. They're just jackals. That's all that is.
And also, they're talking about the replacement of Ime has been, you know, who was accused of a sexual assault, and they're saying that as a defense to Ime. That is not a defense to Ime. You know what I mean? That is highlighting the issue within the industry. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that just makes the situation more flagrant as far as highlighting how deep this issue is. When the replacement was I don't know if he was charged, but accused or whatever, of that of sexual misconduct in some way as well, you know what I mean? So, I just it's the depths that people will go to make it seem like this man didn't do anything wrong, you know what I mean? Or normalize it, or point fingers at somebody else, you know? Like, it's really fucking weird, you know what I'm saying? Like, shitty ass behavior.
Yeah, and there's a certain extent to which you expect the worst behavior from. And look, we've talked about this on the show, man. There's a younger generation of dudes coming up that I think have really been kind of poisoned to an extent and lied to by social media about healthy dynamics between men and women. And there's a lot of young men who feel like men are the victims of like a gender war, you know, that it's like, oh, they've, you know, women have all the power. They can accuse us of something and ruin our life. Like, you know, and you see this in some of the kind of like hateful comments that come up from younger dudes when these, like, you know, the stupid, harmless gender war shit comes up on Twitter about how much date should cost and stuff. And you see people post stuff that's like, this guy works at fucking, you know, these aren't like, I think when people talk about like incels or whatever, there's this idea that it's like there's some underbelly. It's like these are like normal 23-year-old dudes who feel like they're at war or something here. And the comments, you might expect that from them, but to see that stuff, like we said, from Stephen A. Smith, to see that
as
stuff
as if masculinity
from,
is under attack, you know,
that's the way he talked about it. He talked about, like, there's a lot of white coaches, there's a lot of white people in the NBA, quote, doing their thing, as though this is, you know, like we said, as though he had enough information to say this is just an affair that it's being imbalanced in terms of where the punishment is or whatever. But yeah, it's like everyone's a victim, everyone's wounded, everyone needs payback, whether it's a racial grievance that Stephen A. Smith brought up, or it's a gender grievance that it's like, well, why are women free to sleep around but men aren't free? There's correct treatment of people and there's incorrect treatment of people. And to Tyler's point,
that simple.
I don't have an enormous amount of faith in corporations or the legal system in this country, but the very obvious pattern in America is if a huge company hires an independent law firm to do an independent investigation, it's for one of two reasons. Number one, there was public pressure over something they messed up and they're doing it as a PR thing, right? NFL has done that all the time. NBA does that. Okay, we're going to hire an investigator. They're going to come in and look it up. Or if they do it before there's public pressure, as was in the case in this, is because the company knew that something that's going to expose them to huge liability occurred, and they need, for legal purposes, an investigator not connected to the company to put together the breadcrumb trail on what exactly happened. Those are the only two reasons. No one recreationally hires an independent law firm to do an investigation. So, you know, that alone should signify how serious it is. And as we said, just how stupid it is to jump in and talk about this before all the details come out. I just don't understand the need to do that.
But that's also, I think that's part of, like, just the culture we're in the time period we're in too, where everybody just, like Tyler was saying, has to be first. You know what I mean? We're like, you know, a woman has nothing to do with it, and her whole family is drunk, is drugged through the mud now. You know what I mean? Like, it's like what's the point of sharing this? Like, what's the point of even sharing this information? Understanding the climate, you know what I mean? Understanding how people move, if they're gonna be so cryptic about certain things, you know what I mean? That's I think, like, you know, none of us gained anything by having this information or benefited from this,
right?
You know what I mean? And a lot of people were hurt, you know, or affected, you know, negatively by this being dropped before certain information could be revealed. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man, but I think with these situations, I think it's, you know, Woj dropping this shit as if it was a normal breaking news, like every other, with the same graphic and all that shit, just irresponsible. And we have to understand, due to the world we live in now, like, who could be affected by it? And generally it's women, and a lot of women that have nothing to do with it. And even the victim herself, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back. And joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's a great transition. We do one of our myriad producers on Jenkins and Jones is Biko. Biko, if you could hop on. She is one of the producers since we joined the volume. But I think, look, I asked you if you wouldn't mind hopping on with us for a couple minutes, because I think we've heard a lot of male sports commentators talking about how horrible the sports world is for women or whatever. And I thought you would probably be a more authoritative voice on that than the three of us. So first of all, I know we were all in the full group chat talking about how crazy the exchange was between Stephen A. and Malika. I imagine you were just on social media and seeing these clips like, what the fuck is happening right now, and why?
Yeah, I mean, when I initially texted you guys, I had seen only a small portion of the clip. And so my thought is like, okay, why did he go off on her like this? What did she say? Right. So then I'm trying to find the whole clip to figure out like what exactly happened. And I had said to John, like, don't search her name, because that's when I started getting real upset, because you start seeing all the comments of like, women don't belong in sports. This is why women don't deserve to be here. And I mean, we had talked about this earlier, and like, just being a woman in sports already, like, we have to continuously prove that we deserve to be here. So for something like this to even happen, and them to like, just throw her name, like, well, throw the other woman who was speculated's name out there, is just like, it's so frustrating as a woman.
Do you feel like, I mean, I don't know. It feels like almost endless, right? Like at some point someone's going to do something stupid, and then the worst people are going to take over all the microphones for, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels like this inevitable cycle. And that's part of what's so frustrating to me about it, is like, it doesn't feel like there's a way to stop it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, basically what you just said, like, women are already just like deemed as distractions, right? Like, we go into this space that's dominated by all men, and you can't look this way, you can't wear that. And, you know, women already have to think of like this multiple layers of working in sports, right? Like, if you're an attractive woman, there are so many more are deemed as attractive to some people. Like, there's so many more layers of what you have to go through to even get there, right? Like, so there are women, there's this woman on the staff, right? Like, think about all the things she had to go through in order to just get a spot on the bench or to work in BB ops or whatever it is. Like, you have to dress a certain way, wear your hair a certain way. You can, oh, well, that woman, she's one of the boys, or, you know, like they have these labels for these women that have made it to working so high up with these men that it's like, okay, so now is this going to affect like not only women in the sports industry being able to get to that position, it's going to now affect like women just in general, right? Like, so you think about the Boston Celtics organization, like, are they going to be more timid to hire women in those positions because this has happened? Is another team going to do that and say like, well, look what happened in Boston? Granted, we don't even know what happened, but it still is going to be a topic of conversation, which is so frustrating because like I said, it's already tough enough to be a woman in sports and to get to like a high position in a male dominated industry for like, and then you see people who are reporters who have been around for so long, they should know it's hard for these women. And you're just going to put such a vague statement out there to let social media just run with it. It's just all really upsetting. And I just had to log off because I was like, once you start,
you're about to start killing people.
Yeah.
You were in the group chat, like, get me the fuck away from the internet for a couple of days.
Yeah. I'm like, the comments of women don't belong. This is why we don't hire women. It's like, dude, it's frustrating because women get sexualized all the time. Like, we don't ask to be sexualized when we're working, but because like, if you wear leggings, oh, well, you probably shouldn't wear those because why? Because now I'm going to be looked at a certain way, like, you know, or whatever it is, it all comes down to the same shit. It's like, okay, we can't do this because whatever it is. And like, some men can't control their mouth or Twitter fingers, DMs, whatever it is. And I think that layer of it is just like really frustrating. And we don't know exactly what happened here. It's just like, obviously he did something out of pocket and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's really interesting to me is like, I didn't even think about it in that way. Speaking about like how, you know, how she was put on blast. This is just like the tip of the iceberg. This is what we saw. You know what I mean? Her being put on blast, you know, not doing anything, not having anything to do with it, her family being affected of it. By it. We didn't see all the like microaggressions and things that she went through or whatever, or just like flat out, you know, disrespect or mistreatment she went through to get to that position. So like, she does all that to get to that position only for some fucking 15-year-old with a fucking a troll account to drop her shit to put her family, you know what I'm saying, on blast. It's just, that's wild, you know, to see like all of that shit that went on there to get there, for this to still happen simply because she's a woman in the organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so like that's, I mean, but like you were saying, that's like there are, people have to, when you're sharing this information, there has to be a certain level of, you know, you have to be responsible in a particular way because of shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
I didn't even think about all that shit that she went through prior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I even saw one of their reporter had a tweet out that it wasn't me. So it's like you had Mark Spears tweet out it wasn't the woman, I forget what her role was, that worked in basketball ops.
The first woman who was kind of like put out there.
Yeah, so he had a tweet. It wasn't her, right? And then I saw the Boston Celtics reporter Amanda had a tweet like it wasn't me. So I did not go in to look at what her mentions were like.
Right.
But I can't even imagine. And she's, yeah. I'm pretty sure she's married in a relationship as well. And like, to have to go through that, it's just like, women already go through too much to get to that. And it's just so frustrating. And, you know, like, you just think about it, you're like, be better. Like, you're smarter than that. Why would you put a tweet out there like that? Like, what are you looking to gain? The be first? That doesn't make you a better reporter. I don't know.
Well, and it's like, again, I mean, some of it, like the sort of first thing that came out. And by the way, I don't mean to suggest that like if a woman is like younger and single, she deserves this more than someone who's married. Right. I just think it's that like even it more insane that the context of someone's life like completely doesn't matter on this stuff. Because again, I think the first thing that came out, it was from a fan account. No one has any reason. This fan account posts that LeBron James is going to play till he's 90. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't like a real, like, there's, there is the rush to be first, but there's also the no longer caring where information comes from. If people think it's funny or if, you know, whatever. And I mean, there's a difference between a, like, did that dog really smoke a cigarette or something? Versus, oh, like, let's just take this woman's, like, information and run
human.
With it. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, that goes, I mean, this is totally different, but right, like, why Ballsack Sports does so well on social media and their quote tweets end up on ESPN and SportsCenter or whatever it is, because people don't give a shit. They don't look at, like, who it's from. Yeah. It's just, it's all, it all comes down to it just, being a woman in sports is already hard enough. And I feel for the women that work in the Boston Celtics organization, because that's, and then I start thinking of like, okay, well, if it happened to one woman, was that the only woman? And is there more to that? And then you go down this rabbit hole of like, I mean, we saw, I don't want to go there, but I start thinking about, okay, like Deshaun Watson, that situation, there's hella women that he did this to. Like, is that the same as this? Or is this just like, keep doing this to one woman, and it just sucks, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for sharing your perspective. Appreciate that. I just thought it might be valuable to not just have it be us talking about your life experiences or whatever. So thank you for hopping on. Appreciate it.
Appreciate having me on.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you.
All right. If there is one aspect of this story that I feel completely comfortable just totally making fun of that I think is purely comical, it is our nomination for Booger Boy of the Year, Jamal, Jamal Bowman, United States Congressman. I can't believe I don't have this tweet set up.
You don't have it teed up?
I don't have up. God damn it. This is how fucked, this is how bad our fuck. I just assumed I was going to be able to fucking bring this up immediately. And this is how bad our technology is this week. But Jamal Bowman, I don't really know why he felt the need to do it. Felt the need to comfort Nia Long as like the top priority here, and was like, we're not going to let one man who doesn't appreciate the luxury of her presence.
The luxury of her presence. I was like, God damn. This is like, and speaking of marriage, when that motherfucker was married as hell, like he had to post a tweet later with my wife, like, I ain't shipping no shots. This is my wife. I'm like, bro, yeah, she might have got on your ass after she saw that tweet. Like you might have to do some damage control there, bubba, because God damn.
He was like,
God damn, bro.
I'm not shooting my shot. I'm just
from
being
a married
supportive.
Man to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, the fuck.
He said he was just being supportive to say. Oh, here it is. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, I undersold it. Sending nothing but love to Nia Long. We're not letting a man who didn't recognize the luxury her presence was dim all her beauty and glory. Matter of fact, we need a Nia Long national holiday. And then he responded, "Ha ha ha! Y'all hilarious." Y'all do know it's okay for a man to show a woman love and support without shooting his shot. That's actually a thing. Bro, I am in a position of supporting women. That's my life philosophy. I have never referred to the luxury of the presence of any of those women.
The luxury of her presence. God damn.
I bet his wife read that same shit too. There's a difference between supporting and then talking about the luxury of her presence. You ain't never said that about me, Bubba's. You know what I mean? She probably was on that ass. You know what I'm saying?
I was about to say, if you pour it on this thing for Nia, you better be pouring it on 10 times this thing for white.
You
bro.
Feel me?
Yeah. You go, wow. Man, this man asked for a national holiday like he... And he's a fucking congressman. He can legit bring that shit to the floor. You know what
I'm saying? Right.
Matter of fact, let's need consider a national holiday.
You know what I mean?
Let's consider like, who God, currently God. Has national holidays. United States of America.
Everyone except MLK. It's
so presidents and Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
Hey, if you want to give me the day off, though, I take it, though. Happy Nia Long Day, my brother. You know what I'm saying? Fuck you, me. But yeah, dog, that's crazy.
From @JamalBowmanNY, official like, Twitter account.
God damn it, Jamal. What the fuck?
Do better, Jamal.
Do better.
Fuck.
It was funny that, like, he didn't see that, but literally everybody else thought it. Like, did you not reread this? You're a whole ass congressman, bro. You know how important perception is and all of that, dog. You know what I mean? This might be more engagement than you ever got on social media. You know what I mean? Like, bro, everybody thought the exact same thing but you.
Yeah. Okay, Jamal Bowman's chief rival in the running for Booger Boy of the Year. How much was the extension Cat just signed, Tyler?
$225 million.
Okay. This his girlfriend Jordan Woods just celebrated her 25th birthday. This is the letter that that Cat gave to her. To my birthday girl, happy 25th birthday. After this, you get to say you're 18 every year like your mom's, LOL. I know every year I have showered you with material gifts that people wish they could cop, king shit. But this year...
That's what he said? He said king shit?
He said king shit about himself buying her presents.
Suspected, yeah.
Both the K and the S were capitalized. But this year, your 25th year walking this earth, it's actually your 26th year. I'm just pointing that out.
Get his ass.
He's such a nerd. I love it.
It's time to go from that girl to a full woman. You pick two businesses you want to start, and I will fund them. It's time to take that next step, and I will walk with you step by step in this thing we call life. I understand the sentiment. I want to be clear. I understand the sentiment of wanting to be supportive versus just buying people things. Important dynamic to a healthy relationship. Absolutely.
You can do both, though. Facts. Buy her the fucking gift and then be supportive, nigga. Happy 25th birthday. Here's more work. Here's homework assignment.
Homework.
Two of them, matter of fact. Right.
Yeah, but I mean,
grow up, man. Happy 25th birthday. Grow the fuck up. That's what he's saying, bro. Bro, like I'm joking. All of that shit, bro. But if it's me as somebody that 25, bro, that shit might not last, dog. I'd rather have the businesses and the gift, fund that shit, so I can make money when your king shit corny ass might not be around. You feel me? So like, I'm like, bro, thank you. But yes, from our perspective or from hers, but for me, I would be like, yeah, give me that. Fund this business. Because when your ass ain't around, that $225 million ain't around. You feel me? I still have me some bread. You know what I mean? But
I mean,
she kicked the fuck up too. She ain't, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, she don't need that. She don't need that from him. Yeah.
I mean, he can drop like, you know, $2 million and be like, yo, I'm going to get you in touch with an investor. You will never have to fucking work again. You will make this money work for you the rest of
your
life.
Very easy.
Right? Like, it's that fucking simple. But I don't know, man. I guess LLC, you know.
We got to own things, property, and, you know, yeah.
It is also the funny thing where people are like, Twitter's not reality. And that's so true in terms of like public opinion on lots of different topics, right? Like on Twitter, everyone was like talking about the queen and how horrible the queen was and her legacy. And then like you turn on TV and it's like, oh, the entire country of England is lined up to say goodbye to this woman. But Twitter is reality because multimillionaires who signed $250 million extensions like Kat fall in love with LLC Twitter. So
Dinner with Jay-Z Twitter.
Yo, we're having a conversation with a Forex nigga in his DMs right now, dog, talking about investments. You feel me?
I just like, shit. I mean... Yes, you're absolutely, John's right. You can be both supportive in a material way and supportive in a, like, you know, in a more emotional, you know, supporting your dreams financially kind of a way. There is a time for both of those things, and the birthday is the time to buy someone something nice. Yeah, that is what the birthday is for.
That's not the day to give somebody an assignment.
Well, it's like
time to grow up,
baby girl. I mean,
this is the.
You're 25 right? years old. Here's the phone number you could call to get your food truck cleared by the health department. Like,
Time to get them hands dirty, baby. There's work to be done.
Oh, shit. I don't know why that just really... I was just trying to picture myself like... trying to picture what the conversation would have been like in my relationship. I made that move at 25 years old.
I think if I made that move, it would be appreciated, right? In my relationship.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it'd be appreciated if I was worth 225 of them motherfucking M's. Because it's like, baby, what's mine's is yours, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, I don't need a job. You know what I mean? So
That's the whole thing. He can give her never have to work again in your life money, and it wouldn't be a fucking dent in his pocket.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
You're absolutely right. You break someone off $2 million and just say, "I'm going to get you an accountant." Not to start. I mean, starting businesses. I understand people are in love with the whole LLC concept, but the easiest way to lose money is to start a business. You know what I mean?
You feel me? That's a risk. That's the risk.
Right. You give someone $2 million,
not a guarantee,
and a financial advisor who's going to get you 8% back on that every year for the rest of your life.
You will never have to touch the principal.
I mean, that's
depending on the math. If you could live great, travel constantly, and never touch the principal with a certain amount of money.
That's just math. You know what I mean?
That's all it is. That's all it is. There'll be better years than others. But there won't be, you know.
Speaking of better years than others.
Right, can y'all hear Somi? Did y'all hear her?
No. Okay. Hi, Somi.
Wish I did.
Yeah. Hi, Somi. Somi, come talk about Kat.
That's probably what's making that noise. Yeah, you full of shit. I don't want no motherfucking. You better buy me a motherfucking present. You doing all the work around here, Bubba.
I'm mad at it. All right. Speaking of better years than others, let's talk about this Stephen F. Austin football victory, the statistical marvel of beating Warner College 98-0.
Warner College. I've never even heard of those motherfuckers.
It's an NAIA school.
Some wild shit goes on in NAIA schools, man. And there's probably some studs on that squad that could be D1 athletes. You know what I mean?
And then there's some other people who probably could not. 89
the zero side.
89 members of the Stephen F. Austin football team played in the game.
God damn.
I wonder how many had ankle braces. It's wild in AI, man.
It's the most points ever scored by a WAC program. They scored 59 points at halftime. They averaged 11.5 yards per play.
A first down every fucking play, dog. Jesus.
They were up 35-0 after the first quarter. I mean, you could just go through the box score, the whole shit, the entire fucking thing is hilarious. It's just, it's like, they basically had a season's worth of passing offense in the game. They threw for like 700 yards.
Jesus Christ. Did the defense score at all? I imagine that happened a number of times too, right?
Yeah, and they had a return for a touchdown as well. Yeah, they scored 4 touchdowns in the first 6 minutes of the game.
Bro, I need to send me the breakdown. I need to read this.
I will, for sure.
That shit is crazy. Yeah.
It's a statistical marvel. We did have one other football story I wanted to talk about, which is who do you guys think is the funniest, most unintentionally funny person in America? Okay. Super Bowl Hall of Fame matchup, Jameis versus Michael Irvin.
Ooh, that's tough.
Jameis has given us some great moments. We're losing recipes, bro. I will say that to to my grandkids, dog. You know what I mean? We're losing recipes. They won't understand it. I might understand it. I'll be senile and I'll still be fucking saying the shit. You know what I mean? I'm leaning towards Michael Irvin. The picture you sent us was hilarious.
And that motherfucker, when we played in that cold, it was cold.
It was cold, man, bro.
Because I feel like so many football players are full of shit. We're like, it's cold. We don't care. Adrenaline's pumping. We want to get out there and play football. Nah, motherfucker, it's cold.
Right.
I respect Michael Irvin.
Right.
I respect that Florida-ass motherfucker for saying that shit.
And sometimes cold, like, it was cold. Like, it wasn't the same cold. When we played in that cold, it's a different cold from when he said it was cold. You know what I mean?
Right. He got made fun of so much for that.
Country nigga shit.
He got made fun of so much for that tweet. But if you picture him saying it, it makes perfect sense.
Bro. Yes. We might have said that, maybe not, you know, like, on national television.
I wouldn't have written it out.
But, right. But when we played in that cold, it was cold, bro. You feel me? Like,
like I said, it needed to be said. Ain't no way in hell you playing at minus 18 degrees and not cold, bro.
Right. I don't know what the fuck you talking about, but it was cold when we played. That's basically all he said. You know
similarly.
I mean? Also, we losing recipes. We are. Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah.
We losing recipes. It's the truth. I know the eat the W and shit was cute and all, but Uncle Irvin is spreading facts. He's spreading truth. You know what I mean? He's telling the youth what they need to hear. You feel me?
Well, today all he was doing was being told by his co-hosts on national television not to trip as he was walking on set. That actually happened on camera because a man who famously wears glasses did show up to do his broadcast today without glasses. Someone commented on it along with a picture of him. And if you wear glasses like I do, or you've ever been in a situation where for some reason you don't have them, you know the exact face he's making. He's opening his eyes as wide as possible to let the vision in.
And it's really the opposite of what needs to happen. Right? But I've been like this too. Right, like that's gonna help, but really this may help a little more, the squinting. But regardless, bro, like when we wake up, we don't have our glasses on, that's that feeling of like almost dizziness because you can't see, like, you feel me? It's like everything's running together.
So someone tweeted at him, oh, you're going without the glasses today. You know, for the record, I like the look with the glasses. And he just quote tweeted and said, no, I forgot him at the hotel. Bro, I can't see anything.
Anything, dog. Bro, he's looking into the fucking future, bro. That shit is crazy. That feeling is wild, though. Because of that exact face and the feeling that I know he has, I've contemplated LASIK so much, bro. Because, like, I don't want to have that feeling in times where I need to not have that feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I get in a fight with my glasses on, it's cooked. I will wear my contacts sometimes. Like, this is a chance. There's a chance. There's a minute chance I'll get in a fight or get punched in the face. You feel me? So let me put my contacts on so I don't have that face in that moment, dog. You got to think a lot when you a blind motherfucker out here living life like you ain't blind, nigga.
I've never got along with contacts.
It was out there cold. It was cold. You feel me? Shit.
I've never got along with contacts, John. I have had my glasses lens punched through the frame, and it left a bloody circle around my eye.
I've been trying to
skin.
Almost
not a good look. It's not a good. It's not a good look.
My glasses. Because I was this dude was pressing me. You know what I'm saying? And he was out there with his homies and shit. And in St. Louis, for whatever reason, the frats operate like gangs. You know what I mean? They be fighting every night at the club and shit. You feel me? Every weekend. So anyway, dude pressed me like, you know, on some other shit. And then I pushed him off me because I was thinking, I have my glasses on. If he punches me in my glasses and breaks my shit, I'll never hear the end of it. And I can't fight with these motherfuckers. Like, I can't see shit. So I pushed him to get some space, you feel me? And he tripped and fell. And I guess the motherfuckers thought I stole off on him. So they was about to jump me. Luckily, I had some homies with me. You know what I'm saying? Even my homegirls are squaring off, which I always hated that. But the glasses almost got me in trouble. So I think I have trauma. That's why I think, if there's a 0.1% chance I get in a fight, I put my contacts on. You know what I mean?
Gotta
never see
you
with glasses out in the club again, a bar, none of that shit. I don't play about it, man.
I thought about that. What happens in apocalypse? I just got to go to Lens Crafters and like open the drawers up and just try everything until something works. Mm-hmm. Like what? You know what I mean? I got a weird one too. Like one of my eyes, my left eye has really bad astigmatism. My right eye has like sort of okay. I've had glasses
one's
since I was 18
and
months.
One's 170 with astigmatism, bro.
Right.
So my shit is fucking
I've been wearing glasses since I was 18 months old. I had the shit they had to like tape to the side of your head. I had the Coke bottles,
my brother
bro.
Had them. My I had the Coke. Had
I had the co- like the Coke bottle. Coke bottles. Like my dad God cried damn. The first time he saw me wearing the glasses. He was like, "Look what they did to my boy!
Look what they did to my boy!"
Bro, me and wifey got like the same prescription. Like our shit is damn near identical. Nigga, I be wearing them little weak ass glasses. Like it's convenient as fuck. You dipping into her contact.
Putting them on like a monocle, nigga. Just
like
let me borrow you.
That's convenient. Like, that's the most underrated compatibility stat I ever heard of.
We got the same I have to put that on the list. All you youngins out here.
Listen, tap in.
Oh, shit. Okay. We got two more topics. One of them, John suggested. Great topic, John. Which foods are better when cooked by racist people?
Oh, barbecue's for sure at the top of the list at the Power Rangers.
By far.
You know what I'm saying? That is the runaway number one right there. You know, unanimous MVP vote right there. I have talked extensively about how Caucasian cuisine is very bland, very lacking. But I will say that our Caucasian brethren and sistren, I think that white men are the best.
Sistren?
I think white men are the best barbecuers on the planet. And I think
what'd you say? You said what?
I think white men are the best barbecuers on the planet.
White racist men, right?
Yeah, yes, there's got to be some racism. Okay. Like not a white motherfucker in like blue state Connecticut or some shit, no.
And yeah, not that liberal racism. We talking about, you know what I'm saying, the MAGA shit, full MAGA. We don't want that basic shit, nigga.
Right.
Not the, say, in this house, we time. Believe, but also I'd prefer if the schools were segregated racism.
Right. We want you out front, you know what I'm saying? You know, let's go Brandon flag on your fucking back of your truck. I need that barbecue, you feel me?
Yeah. So I think white men are the best barbecues on the planet. And I think serious. White women are the best dessert bakers on the planet too.
I was saying, like, this one month was like I said, when I want barbecue, I need that full MAGA shit, bro. You know what I mean? Like I was out in there was a couple of, you know, dudes that had the thin blue line shit on. I was like, okay, this barbecue finna slap. When I was out at like two over in Glendale or wherever the fuck I was at picking apple, I'm like, okay, this barbecue.
Fucking and
it didn't slap. It didn't slap. I was like, you know what? This is that. This
Glendale
is
exactly what it sounds like, Tyler.
Yeah. Right. This is that pardon me racism. I don't want the pardon, you know, pardon me, brother, racism. I don't want that shit. I want, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to that barbecue, there got to be some hate in that motherfucking shit, bro. You know what I mean?
Some bigotry to see.
There's got to be some. There got to be some. These niggers. Some bigotry. These, not even niggers. I want you to, these niggers, you got to be a little bit of that motherfucker. I got to be nice and charcoaled into the motherfucking meat. You know what I'm saying? And also, I mean, homie was like, but they size is trash. The size do be trash. They make, maybe because of their racism, they make white potato salad instead of the yellow potato salad, which is a better option, right? But the apple pie and shit be slapping. Racist apple pie and like Americana desserts, you feel me? And racist barbecue is fucking fire, bro. Fire. The best. The best. If they own a grill, need some hatred. If they make an apple pie, throw a little nigger in that motherfucker and I'm a slap. I'm a gobble it down, you feel me? Thank you, Callie. Walking about that motherfucker.
I will take you a step further and say I think that all food is better when made by racist people. And I would say when I have been to barbecue places run by black people in Southern California, if they are talking about how Mexican people should learn to speak English.
Ooh. Barbecue can be delicious.
The smoke in the sauce is gonna be perfect.
Gonna be crazy. I don't know what is the correlation between absolute ignorance and the best barbecue on the fucking planet, but there definitely is one. You know what I mean? And it's consistent, bro. It's consistent, bro.
But Tyler's a grill master and is a good person. And I'll throw that out.
There we go.
Tyler's the exception. Yeah, Tyler's the exception.
An anomaly in 99.9% of his existence, okay? Of course, he's the one kind person.
Tyler's the only person who's on Twitter all the time that is a tolerable person. Like, you know what I mean? He breaks all kinds of rules. Right. Oh, shit. Okay, the last thing
he gets muted because his takes are too good. That's right. Like, that's what that's what Shell said about football. Yeah. I mute him because it's too true.
It's I knew he was going to get on my ass. Yeah.
All right. The last thing I wanted to talk about is ants.
Oh, man.
Fucking ants.
All right.
Can we just say fuck them?
There's a study out. This has actually been a question scientists have been wondering for like over 100 years. Is you see this all the time. There's X number of insects for every person. There's X number of species of spiders on the planet, whatever. There are so many ants that scientists have never previously come up with an estimate for their population that they felt comfortable with. Until last week, a study involving scientists on every continent this study was published that estimates there are at least 20 quadrillion ants on Earth, which is 2.5 million ants for every person. The body mass and weight of these ants, if you piled them together, would be greater than all mammals and birds on Earth combined.
Quadrillion. How many zero? I've never heard that. I thought that was a joke word that we said as a kid.
It's 20,000 millions.
Jesus Christ.
So there's five.
No, no, no. Excuse me. 20 million billions.
20 million.
Wait, so there's 9 extra zeros?
So if there was 1 billion, it would be 20 million of those.
So it's 6 extra zeros in.
I don't know, dog.
A million. So it's 7 extra digits.
Ah, math. No. I think the mind-blowing shit is the whole weight stat. Like, bro, more than mammals and birds. Mammals, like, more than fucking blue whales and people and polar bears and fucking ants. You know what I'm saying? Where fucking a million of them weigh, like, 1 ounce. That's ridiculous, bro.
Also, though, aren't they, like, they can lift 50 times their weight?
Yeah,
bro, if they would figure out how to band together in a particular way, like in a horror film way, that honestly, ants may be the scariest thing on the planet.
No one, there's, you know, as saying? Far as I know, there's not really a good, like, there's arachnophobia. There's plenty of movies about bees. No one's really done an ant horror movie, have they?
And ants be annoying. I've had way worse issues with ants than spiders. You know what I mean? Like spiders, you know, like shit, Rod will be in mid conversation, slap the shit out of spider, and we keep talking.
Yeah, I never
like,
really got the thing with spiders. You know what I
you
mean?
You know what I mean? But like, they look scarier.
Yeah.
But ants, like ants are like, dude, they'll take over your fucking kitchen for a summer. You know what I mean?
So
they got
shot.
Shit called grease ants. I ain't even heard of that. You know what I'm saying? If you leave out some peanuts or some shit, they bye. You feel me? Somebody need to figure that out.
But John, is
they're
interesting.
They're not scary looking at, but they can lift 50 times their weight. So there's something there.
Yeah.
There's something there.
But I had the same thought as you, like, oh, wow, if they ever teamed up. And then my follow-up thought was, then
do.
What? They already, like, they, like by they most metrics you would think of biologically, they already rule the Earth, right? There's more of them than anything else. They have the whole surface of the planet covered.
But it's also weird because I'll kill an ant, like, since a child with my finger, just one, boom.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there's still so many.
And you have 2,499,999 to go just to cancel out your one person's worth of ants. Like, my family of four, there are 10 million ants on this earth for us.
And I feel like just about every human is like an ant mass murderer. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like every human will like die having killed at least like 10,000, 20,000 ants.
At least.
You know what I mean?
At least.
We
used to pour gasoline down ant holes. Did y'all ever do that?
Hell no.
Well, that's how country I am, Bubba.
When my mom got vindictive, when an ant, we have an ant invasion in the house, which is Southern California, is the whole thing is an ant hill, right? We'd get an ant. So in the summer in Long Beach, it gets hot. The ants are coming into your house. We pay exterminators to put up a perimeter around the house and shit. Once a year, they're still coming in the house.
They don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
My mom, when she would get vindictive, she would boil water and she would pour the water down the ant thing. And she would tell my brother and I, come over here. You could hear them screaming.
Her mom is hilarious. Could you though? Did they make
no, no, no? But she had my little brother. Like what?
Right. No, we supply. I think gasoline killed. Water probably would have done the same thing.
Boiling water was not pleasant to have poured on you as any kind of organism. We
poured gasoline down the anthills back in the day.
Did you set them on fire, or you just poured gasoline down?
I don't think we set them on fire. That was a long time ago, man. You feel me? That was, you know, that was in, I think, middle school.
Well, it had to have been a long time ago, because now you would not spend that much money on messing with ants.
We got through our day.
$5 a gallon.
$6 a gallon out here.
Fuck out here. Ass, man.
Bro, hey, fuck, right. It's cheaper to call the Orkin man and have him use his gas. Come on, right. The fuck? But shit, dog. Kidding me? But yeah, man. That's crazy. That's crazy, though.
All right. That's all the time we got for today. Thank you so much, Biko, for hopping on with us. We'll be back on Thursday. Hope everyone's week gets off to a nice start. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them?
Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.